Okay, we didn't read the Rabbeinu Yonah since the last time. So let's read the Mishnah again, and we'll do the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yossi ben Yochanan, is Yerushalayim, the man of Yerushalayim, Omer, Yibetecha patuach levavcha. Let your house be open widely. Right, the house of Rabbeinu Yonah, let's see what it means, patuach levavcha. See how Rabbeinu Yonah explains. So he says, so Yossi...
Which passage
we have? Well, Mishnah Hay, sorry, Perik... Rishon, the first parak, Mishnah Hay. Sorry, I didn't say that. You're right. Okay, so it says, what do you mean, be open widely? Yesh Omrim, there are those who say, you have this in the Rabbeinu Yonah, you guys? Yeah? Yesh Omrim. Now, there might be a girsa difference between your these new ones and the girsa we have in the Gemara, so don't worry about it.
Perak Hay, right?
Yeah, Perak Hay. Yesh Omrim. Yesh Omer?
Yeah.
Okay, Yesh Omer, Yesh Omrim. Shim Tzu'u Bebeito, he will find in his house Haravacha. People should find in this house Haravacha. What does it mean, Haravacha? Yeah, wideness. What do you mean, wideness? Easiness. Wideness, easiness. Bnei Adam Hatzrichim. People who need it should find easiness. Should find their comfort in his house. Should be comforted from his house. What does that mean? Hatzrichim. People who need it should find comfort in his house. Right? So, I don't know what that means yet. Let's see. Or Perush, or another Perush. Shia Beito Kabet Avram Avinu. His house should be like the house of Avram Avinu Alav Shalom, of Abraham, right? Shia Beito Bederech, that his house was on the way, right? It was a hotel, right? 5-star, 6-star, if you could, right? B'mokum Dochak, in a place where it's not a pleasant place, it's a difficult place. Kadeshi Kansu Lisham, in order that people will enter there, Ha'ovrim Vishabin, people who passes by. Vie Beito, and his house will be Patuach La'abaruchas. We open on all four sides, right? So it has good air conditioning. No. In order to what? In order, just make sure you guys are awake, right? In order that what? In order that people will feel welcome, that he wants people in there. So each door will say, welcome sign, right? Yeah? I mean, nowadays hotels do it very well. You know, the welcome sign, they make you feel you have an usher to open the door for you, right? But you know what they really want?
Yeah.
That's right, money. But you should have it without the money, right? You really want the guy to do the chesed of hachnasas orchim. What's the chesed of hachnasas orchim? Someone who's in a mokum dochak, he doesn't have a place to sleep, right? And now you're going to open your house, open for him. That's Hachnasas Orchim, right?
That's how Abraham treated guests in the desert.
Yeah, in the difficult places, right? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Yeah. Mikol tzad, from all sides, Shiavo, the people will come. Vijimtsu patach patuach, that his house will be open. Vijifinu lesham, they'll enter there. Kamo sha'ama Iyov, like Iyov says, Dalti le'oreach eftach, my doors to a guest I will open. Okay? So we're having two pirushim. My house will be a house of ravacha, which means a house that people find their comfort, those who need it. Now what do you mean, those who need it? Because we have the next part of the Mishnah says, and your house will be the house of aniyim. You beite aniyim bnei beitecha. So we're not saying, aniyim, what do you mean ravacha? What do you mean your house will be a house, a wide house? Because literally, ravacha means wide, open house. What does it mean? How do you envisage such a house? Easy going, comfortable, people feel comfortable. You know, you seem to come and go to people's houses and you're like, don't touch the vase, right? Leave, don't put your hands on the wall, right? Those sort of houses, that's not a house of ravacha. House of ravacha is a person comes in, he feels comfortable there. How do you create such a house? What does it mean to create such a house? Why is that important? Why do you need a mishnah to tell us to create such a house?
Well, a Jewish home can't be the way you can't touch things, right?
Yeah, that's not a Jewish home.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah, take your shoes off, right?
That's no good.
In Manhattan, that seems to be a way of life because, I don't know, like it's dirty on the, you know, they're worried about, I don't know what they're worried about, but they're worried about, right? And maybe they have carpeting there. You know, in Israel, you have like stones, maybe it's less problematic. I don't know the reasoning exactly, but I understand it's bacterial. Right? But people are more into, you know, those like that health things and worrying about bacteria.
Trust me, Manhattan also has some bigger problems.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a problem. I don't know. Like he's asking, is that a problem? It means a house where there's no hakapodas, where people don't feel that, you know, like you're makbid, you're particular. feel easy in your house. They feel pleasant in your house. When you come in, yeah. Should be easy going. Should be pleasant. Right? You know? Don't touch the chandelier, right? It should be a house where, you know, you can put plastic on your nice teddy, but you don't have to worry about the kids jumping on it and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying that every house should be that, but I think, you know, like my parents' house was certainly like that. Like, we never had, like, very... we always had food in the house. You know, my parents, you know, they were immigrants, and when you're immigrants, you're high in survival. Baruch Hashem, you know, so they didn't have so much food when they grew up, so they wanted to make sure that we had food, right? But in terms of, like, a nice, you know, ornaments and stuff like that, I'm not touching, forget it. Like, we had just a seti, and you could do whatever you want with it. You could jump on it, you could do whatever you want, right? It was easy going. You know, all my friends love to come to my house because they could do whatever they want in my house. Like, it's a house for the children. That's how my parents used to be mugged at, a house for the children. Let them have fun. Let them be children. Let them, you know, let them be what they are. So now, I understand that between my parents' house and, you know, another house, there'll be like, don't jump on the settee and don't do this. There could be more gedarim. There could be more like, but remember, we're comparing these two. The Yesh Omrim is compared to the house of Avraham Avinu. The house of Avraham Avinu, what do you think? Was an easygoing house? It was Midah Chesed. So I'm not so, you know, so there's this concept of bringing in Orchim, have it open. And there's a concept of when the Orchim are there, right? And people want to come there because it's an easygoing house. There's no din. There's no like judge. Not a judgmental house. What happens when you bring up children or people come to a house which is not judgmental? What sort of children you bring up? What sort of atmosphere is in that house? It's a very loving, caring, warm atmosphere, right? So that's the house you should have. That's a Jewish home. That's a house we should all be wanting to bring up our children. Now, who's the house? Your wife. Rabbi Yossi used to call his wife Basi, his house. So the person who creates that atmosphere is the wife. So you want a very chesedic wife. And all the others looked for that wife who was chesedic, that opens that house, that is a house of warmth, a house of care, a house of acceptance. Acceptance of the children, acceptance of people out, acceptance of the husband. You know, husband has also his you know, his things that are, you know, that need to be accepted. Right? So that's the house you want to create. And not only do you want to create that sort of house, you want to create a house which you want to bring them in. You want to show people you're welcomed in. Please come into my house. Yeah? Now, that shouldn't be at the expense of the children. Once I gave a shir, and I told people, and they got a little shocked, they shouldn't be machnis orchim so much. They should be, the first orchim should be their own children. So I know special families invite people over, right? And it depends. And they have one meal just for the family. So even if you can do both things, you're going to be machnis orchim and have one meal just for the family. And I'm not saying this is not a horah, this is not a psak halacha for everyone. This is like, I'm explaining that hachnosis orchim is not at the expense of the children and your family. Yeah? So you do both. You can do both. But the warmth, you understand what I'm talking about? You understand the concept of the house that you want to make? That's the concept of the house you want to make. That's what Mishnah's telling us. That's a very important concept with children. Because if children feel the house is warm and caring, children stay home. And if they have difficulties, there's always a warm place to come home. But if children have difficulties, whatever they are, and all children have difficulties, teenagers means difficulties, because that's what a teenager means, right? They're rebelling against society, against the home, against everything, whatever it is. But they'll always come back to that warm home. Wherever they go, wherever the difficulties they have encountered out, they'll always come back. That's a very important yesod when you make a home. That's a very important yesod when you marry a wife. Right? You understand? So that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. That's a very important thing. See? Speaking a lot about women. Okay, now we go. Next bit. So it says, "V'yibei techa patuch l'rivocha," that we read. "V'yu anim bnei beitecha." Let be poor people bnei beitecha. What is bnei beitecha? Bnei beitecha usually means your children, like we learn in Chanukah. Ne ishu beiter. Rashi says bnei abayis. Right? That's Beito. Bnei Beitecha means your children. So it means your Aniyim should be your children? What do you mean Aniyim? Should bring in Aniyim, treat them like you treat your children? What does it mean? Aniyim Bnei Beitecha. We said you should be Machnis Ochim. Now remember, this house, the way we're picturing it, is a very house of Chesed. So a house of Chesed is Machnis Ochim, people who need. And also, Aniyim should be Bnei Beitecha. Aniyim should be the people who come and be in your house. In what way? They should be living in your house. What happens if you only live with two bedrooms? You can't have Aniyim in your house. You don't have room for your kids as well, right? It's not sneers, right? You have a big mansion and you should keep a separate room for people coming in. What does it mean? And they have breakfast with you and your kids. That would be, if you have a big house and you have the ability to do that, and Aniyim come in, and then you're having breakfast, and the Ani who's here from Eretz Yisrael is here for a week, collecting for whatever he's collecting, and he gets to stay in your house, and you treat him like Bnei Beitecha, right? You make him whatever you make for your kids, you make for him, you treat him properly, you treat him with covet. What do your kids see? What do your kids see?
Hospitality,
but they also see covet. They see the way you mechavet everyone. You're a rich guy, you have a big house, and you treat an ani like your own children. Isn't that a good thing? That shows that you don't treat people on how much they're worth, in brackets. You teach people because who they are. He's a yid. He's a frum yid. He's a good guy. I treat him well. I don't treat him well because he makes millions or hundreds of thousands. He doesn't make anything, this guy. I treat him because he's a yid. You understand? What does that give your children? If you're rich and you have a house like that, you can afford and you can bring it in, right? I'm not saying everyone should do that. What does that teach your children? Even though I don't have money, we have money. Dad has plenty of money. Their kids know what dad has. Dad can afford everything. But what does that make the children feel about dad's money?
It's important. The money's important.
Money's not important, because look how dad treats people.
Do you think it's important because that's how he's able to treat?
Yeah.
I remember the question.
Because dad, money is not what makes a person. You see how dad treats other people. You understand? Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Maybe he doesn't say this, let's see. So now we're going here. V'yu aniyim bnei beitecha. Hu nidrash l'shnei panim. We learn this in two ways. B'mokum shekone avadim. In a place, instead of buying servants, like, you know, your Filipinis and your, whoever they are, and Minehem, and all those sort of types, to be your servants. U'mefanesam, and you give them money. Yishtamesh baniyim. Get Jewish poor workers, v'yifarnesotam, and give them parnosa, give them a livelihood. Don't get a Filipini, right? Get it in the Jew. Right? V'lo yitzarech lehotzi ma'at b'kniya. And you won't need to spend more money in buying things. Shenimse marviach v'otze mitzvah. What does it mean? V'lo yitzarech lehotzi ma'at b'kniya. Shenimse marviach v'otze mitzvah. You won't need to take out money. I don't know what it means. You don't need to spend money in buying yourself an Eved Kanani and paying him for his food, etc. Here, right, you just need to be famous. You give the Anim who's in your house, you give him food, etc. Because in the time of Gomorrah, the main thing the person used to work for was for his food. Right? Food was then all you needed. Nowadays, you need electricity, you need water, you need lots of things. Then you didn't need to, in the time of Gomorrah, you didn't, what was buying a house? You had land.
Unless you're Amish.
Huh?
Unless you're Amish, they don't need electricity.
What's Amish?
Amish, yeah.
You know what that means?
I thought you meant Hamish. I'm like,
but what, I don't know what that means. But simply speaking, let's get back to here. In the time of Gomorrah, people didn't buy houses. You built a house, right? Water you got from the local well, right? Electricity you didn't need. You needed a little bit of money to buy, you know, oil or whatever for lighting. But most people used to sleep at night. Only wealthy people had oil. Right? Yeah, mashmi the Gemara, rovi sarwa anim, at least the Gemara and Brachos, that base, right? They didn't know everyone had lights. Nighttime used to see, you get up, and you know, maybe Chachamim had lights to learn by, but not everyone had lights. And then, it's not like nowadays, they're fluorescent in the middle of the night. And then, so what was the main thing you needed money for? For food. That was your main expenditure. People didn't need that. And what they used to eat? People used to eat a bit of bread, with a little tibble, with a little bit of, you know, little something to put the bread in. That's it. They weren't like, you know, like nowadays, we have all these needs. If you compare ourselves to Manu Gemara, we have so many needs. To pay electricity, and water, and buy a nice house. You know, my father told me a very interesting, insight. Yeah. He said, once, you know, there were lords, and the lords used to own you. They used to, you know, you were the peasants. So if you wanted to make money, the lord used to give you land, and used to work the land, and used to give a percentage of that land, a percentage of the crop to the lord, and the rest used to eat. That way, you know, nowadays, you don't have no lords. Everyone's a free man. The only thing is, you have to buy a house. And you have to pay income tax. And you have to work and pay for electricity and water and all the menials, right? Which usually the state owns or whoever owns. So now we're free men. But you still have to spend the rest of your life working to pay for the house, electricity, etc., etc. We're so different. And it's very interesting, the Loshon Chazal, when you owe people money, is shivud, is avdus. We live in a mentality that we start off owing people money. We owe people for our house. We're paying a 20-year mortgage, a 30-year mortgage. You're meshubed. Right? No, we're free men. And not only we're meshubed, we're worse. Because society creates us that we have so many needs. We need the fancy car. We need the nice TV. Not us, but the nice computer. Right, the nice whatever, the nice settee, we need the nice fridge, has to be silver, right? And the computer has to be nice and thin, right? Thin, right? Well, we have so many needs, and they're created, these needs, they're spending millions of dollars creating needs for us and convincing us that we need this thing, right? So they have a new, like, sort of, you know, new sort of light on the car. So now, as soon as these new lights come on, so every car will have it. So you have to buy this new car which has these lights. That's the only difference. Or a computer screen. Because you can't look at a regular, you know, like, how do you call that? How do you call those dashboards with the thing? You have to have it computerized? I don't know. Right? Yeah, all sorts of. Or you have to have a car which only can go, you can program it. Only, it won't go more than 70 miles an hour or 70, right? For speeding limits. You have to, there's all sorts of things that you don't really need. You're made to need that you need them. You're made to think that you need them.
You know what's really funny about that? Like, I just noticed that, you know, no matter what anyone's economic situation is in in America, no matter what house you go into, they can have all the financial problems you can imagine. You know, have trouble paying their mortgage, have trouble paying for their kids' education, whatever. But they all have that big screen TV in their living room.
To tell them, yeah, because that's a big need. That tells them what more they have to buy, right? and now they even have a Goisha holiday, which the whole point of that holiday is Ruchnius, Lechora. I assume, I don't know really what the point of it is. They have this holiday, and it's all around buying. It's all around buying more things that you don't really need, but you buy it because you have to buy it, right? Okay, all right. I mean, even the Ruchnius is buying. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm sure there's other Ruchnius, but, you know, it's sad. It's sad. It's very sad. Okay, let's continue.
It's kind of funny.
But huh?
It's kind of funny and sad.
Okay, so now let's go weiter in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, so you have to, one shot is the people that you look after, that looks after your house, should be Aniyim. So you give your money to Yidden. Aniyim rather than to the, you know, to the Filipini, to whatever. And also, let's be honest, Chazal say, there's a takana of Chazal. I want to explain to you a takana of Chazal. Chazal say that why, when they made Eruv Chatzeris, they didn't allow you to make an Eruv Chatzeris with a goy. It doesn't work. You have to buy his rishus. It doesn't work. Why did Chazal make that takana that doesn't work with a goy? That you won't live amongst goyim and you won't learn from their actions. So now, I'm going to bring a non-Jew into my house. Now these Filipinos, they could be Christian, they could be Odeh Berezara. I don't know what the hashkafas are. No one gives them like a heksha, right? And I'm going to have them take my kids to the park. And I'm going to have them look after my kids, change my kids, wash them, whatever it is. Right? Or being around the house. What sort of hashkafas are my kids going to get? What sort of like bringing up? Chazal made a special takana that you wouldn't live with a goyim, and now I'm bringing a goyim into my house to look after my kids. That's not a great thing. That's not a great thing. I mean, if you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. But it's not a great thing. You hear? Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
So if you have like a cleaning person or like somebody in the house?
If they're not living there a long time, they're just coming in to clean and go out.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, in terms of being alone with a man and woman being alone together.
So let's do it. Perish Achem. V'gam shiu hanim regilim lebeito. Let poor people be regular to come to his house. V'yamdu sham b'lo boshet. Let them stand there without any embarrassment. Boshet panim. Barotzo lehem panim. He'll give them a nice countenance. Shal simcha, of joy. Uloteto lehem reshus. And he'll give them permission. B'chol asher, and all that he has. Kasher yitein ish lebanav. Like a person gives to his son. His sons, ula anche beis, the people of his house. In other words, when the ani comes to their house, what does an ani feel when he comes to his house? He's come to this guy who has means. How does he feel?
Meek.
He feels like, you know, he feels nervous. Can he do this? Can he do that? You pat him on the back, and you tell him, you're like, do whatever you want. Take from the fridge. Do whatever you want. You know, have a shower. Feel at home. My house is your house. You're a Ben Bias here. Feel at home. How does he feel? Did you give him? What does an ani need? What's his needs? This guy, he should be really able to be mefarnes himself. He should be able to really have his own means of making his own parnasa, of making his own livelihood. So how does he feel? Does he feel good about himself? Does he feel good about himself?
Probably not.
No. How you, when you treat him like an equal, like one of your Ben Bias, what are you giving him? Are you giving him just food? You're giving him respect.
You're saying it's good to treat him like an equal, no?
Of course. You're giving him respect. He doesn't respect himself because he feels he should be making a living and he isn't. You're a guy who's making more than a living. You're having aniyim beibnei beitecha, right? If you have the means, right? How do you make him feel? And if you're poor, you can make him feel good. I have my parents have a good friend, and they themselves were very, very poor. You know, they lived in Chutz La'aretz, you know, and sometimes poor people used to knock on their doors, and they themselves, well, they used to eat them. You know, we're talking about a different generation. For us, it's not even relevant in such a situation. And they had like just soup they were going to eat, right? So this guy knocked on the door, and the mother that brought them up, because their father was nifta, so the mother was a widower. And this person knocked on the door. Obviously, it was a female, not a male. Knocked on the door. She didn't have what to eat. So the mother, who only had this like lentils or something to give all the kids, and herself, she didn't have much money. You know, there are times if you're a widower, how much money you had, right? You were a poor pauper. So she said, "We have plenty of food." So he told the child, you know, the soup was ready, had a certain amount for each person, just add another bowl of water in there. So the child, my parents are friendly with the child, right? She's an old lady now. She's a very, very big balas emunah. What did the child see? And this is what the child said. If you have place in your heart, you're all, for someone, there's always a way of calling someone in. Just add another bowl of water. Water doesn't cost anything. Just add another bowl of water. So you have a little bit less lentils, each of us. Just add another bowl of water. You have another bowl to give this person. You don't have to be rich to do mitzvah tzedakah. You just have to have rich in your heart. You with me? And look what the mother taught that child. Look how that child came up. What a Baal Emunah, that person. She's my daughters, when they, you know, when they get to meet this person, they say, "Dad, she's a rabbanit. She's a simple lady. She doesn't even know how to read Hebrew so well. She's mamish at tzedeket. She has a big heart." You have a person like that in the yeshiva. She's not going to learn a Gemara, right? She's not going to, you know, tell you Rabbi Yehuda, right? But she's a big heart. That's what makes you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liba boy. After it's all said and done, who are you? What heart do you have for other people? Is it big enough to put everyone in there? Or certain people you put, certain people you won't put? We're talking about different generation. You understand? That's what's called Yeridus Adaris. We're talking about people, you know, if you look at older people, you see what makes different them to us. It's not in knowledge. Sometimes we might be more knowledgeable than them. We might know more Torah. We can say a Rabbi Huega over, we can say a Chumash Rashi over, we can say a Maharal over, we can do lots of things. Yeah? We can do fancy Torah. Hearts. How open are our hearts to people? How caring are we for people? Really caring. How much do we really care for people? How much does it matter what that person is? We're willing to put him in there. We have no mechitzas. You put everyone in that heart. By Ricky downstairs, mechitzas. This one she puts in there. This one she doesn't put in there. There's a mechitza there. There's hevdalim. There's differences. I don't think so.
You know what's a really good measure?
Let's give this. We'll finish off here. We'll give a marshal. If I'm a very, very rich person, right? Materially rich. Is the best thing to do with my children to give to them? When he's young, he wants a little, you know, toy, I buy him. He wants a little car, I buy a toy, you know, toy car, I buy him. A little motorbike, you know, electric one, right? Nowadays, buy him. Then the electric car, I'll buy him. And continue buying him. What's going to happen to that child? Then when he gets older, he wants the nicer motorbike, right? The BMW and the BMW car and then the house and then the thing. You buy him, continue buying him. What is that child lacking, which is very important? Appreciation for anything. He doesn't appreciate what you give him because he can get whatever he wants. He doesn't appreciate anything. Even giving with a child is a similar thing. You have to give in a way that a child appreciates it. And you also have to put gvulot. You have to put, how do you say gvulot? You have to put boundaries. Your child wants to go to bed. Abba, come speak with me. Come tell me a story. Of course you've got to tell him a story thing. Then when you finish the story, another one. Okay, maybe you tell him another one. But if he continues, he has to be gvul. He has to go to bed. And you're doing it so he gets up for school on time and he's erani, he's awake in school. Okay, if you're on a holiday, it's a different thing. But even then, you don't ruin his schedule. You don't want the child to be tired. Chesed has to come also with gvul. Right? You can't just give open-handed. It's bad for a child that he doesn't know boundaries.
Giving them boundaries is also a form of giving. Right?
Yeah, that child needs that. Giving a boundary. So not everything's okay. You love a person only if not everything's okay. There's a boundary. You love, but no, you can't do that. I love you, but can't do that. I'm giving, but here's the gvul. And children need that. Children look for that. Even adults. Most of us, you know, are children to a certain extent. There's a gvul, but it has to be a gvul that comes from ahava. A gvul that comes from, and not like you knock him. Not that you hit him. Right? The child has to feel that the gvul comes from ahava. If he doesn't feel that, you've done it wrong. Okay? Now let's go weiter. Okay. Va'al tabe sicha ima isha. And don't increase your speech with a woman. Sicha, we explain, means just stop talking. right? Sesichat hanashim, the speaking of women, mivir day hiruhor havera, makes a person think of averas. Like, basically, you can, if you could explain to you how it works, women connect, you know, women tend to talk. Women connect through speech, just speech. They talk about, that was a nice dress they bought, a nice thing. It doesn't have to be like deep speech. Men connect with deep speech, but women connect with just speech. So if you're ma'abesich with isha, you're actually connecting them to you and you to them. Right? So you're going to think about them. It's going to cause you to think about them. Right? Because you feel connected, you feel warmth. There's certain warmth you feel. Right? So Chazal is very careful about that. Don't do that, because you're bringing to think about them. Or bittul Torah, the mele, there'll be bittul Torah. Why there'll be bittul Torah? You still learn. You're still learning. Why is it bittul Torah? Right? And be'ishto amru, that's even with your own wife. Kavachom ve'ishil chavera, of course, not the wife of your friend. Be'ishto nida amru, when your wife's not permitted to you. Kavachom ve'ishil chavera, when your wife, when someone else's wife. Ratzonoma, shelo ya'abed dvarim, you shouldn't speak a lot of words. Im ishto nida, when your wife is not permitted to you. Shema yitgaber alav yetzahara, maybe the yetzahara will be mitgaber on you, will have, how you say mitgaber, will conquer you, so to speak. V'yavo l'day pshir, and you come to do an avera. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do anything, it means that you might think certain things. V'kal v'chom v'eshet chaver, or the more so with your wife's friend. Doesn't again mean that you're going to happen, and things are going to happen, chas v'shalom. Means you'll think things, right? Your mind will be there. Sheyitzra tokfa alei biyoteh, your yetzahara is stronger on the wife of your friend. Why? So Gemara in Sanhedrin, Gemara says, "Ma'im genuvim yimtaku." Something which is forbidden to you, you like more. There's a conquering. You want to conquer. That's what they say. You know, like, you know, she's playing hard to get, so to speak. It means you want to conquer. People like to conquer. They feel good. I got something I couldn't get. I feel good about myself. Usually, people, when you don't have a good self-esteem, you don't have a good self-esteem, you need to conquer. You understand? You feel that need. It comes from low self-esteem. Conquering comes from, it's also a tether of a man, but it also comes from a need. It's a low self-esteem, deep down. People who have high self-esteem conquer themselves, are more sholed on themselves, on their desires, on their thoughts. People who have lower self-esteem, and it goes with it, the way of improving your self-esteem has more self-control. More self-control gives a person much higher self-esteem. Less self-control gives a person lower self-esteem. A person can change that. The more he feels his control of himself, the more he can build a self-esteem. And that's a simple thing. Okay. So it says, "Sheim bezot shelamachatim lo muteret." His wife can become permitted to him. So it's available for him. It's pat basalo. It has his pat, his bread in the basket. It's available. Amrukoshke beishet nochri, and even more by an eishes nochri. Shayet mitave aleh, that you have more of a desire to an eishes nochri. Now I'm not sure it means an eishes of a goy. I don't think so. I think it means, I don't know though. Doesn't make sense to me. It means eishes nochri here means the wife of someone who's a stranger. Right, someone who you don't know, so it's hard of you to get. Kinyan shneema ma'im gnuvim imtaku. That's the Gemara we said in Sanhedrin. The stolen waters are sweeter. V'nir lefarish kipshuto. And I will explain simply. Be'ishto amru, with his wife is speaking. Shelo la argila bedvarim. You don't be regular her with words. La'olam, all the time. Kedei. You're not with her every day. Even if she's taho, you shouldn't be with your wife every day. Now things change in different periods of time. You know, if you're first getting married and stuff like that, we're not going to talk about that now, but things are different. She'ein la'adam liyot im yishto la'anato, he shouldn't be with his wife for his own personal benefits. Ach l'kiyum ha-mitzvah, to establish mitzvah. That needs explanation. It's not simple what's said here. Means you shouldn't do it to use her as a vessel of your pleasures. It's not a chocolate that you're eating, right? If it's based on emotional care, then the that the concept of togetherness is a different concept. And that sort of benefits allowed to have and should be have. It should be love between the husband and wife, and the mela that will bring out a higher level of connection. But that's not for now. That's not what we're discussing here. Ulafrish bein adam ubein abahema, to separate between a man and an animal. Right? It's not a cow who's eating his fodder. It's not a Ben and Jerry's that you're having. Right? Kamosh amru b'mesechet brachot, gabi bal keri, with regards to a person who has an issue. Right? Something that... Shelo yimatuim im nashoteim. Sorry, not being a person, an issue, person who's with his wife. He shouldn't be often by his wife. Katana godim, like chickens. Chickens every day they lay eggs. Right? Vum midet hapricious. There's a midah of separation. Hamiviato the madrego salio, so bring him to higher levels. Kadamrinan, precious mivila de tara. Precious separation brings a person to do purity. Now, again, in our generations things might be different. So not this is not a chasen shir. But basically what we're saying here is that Chazal made special takanas. You shouldn't be with your wife for like an animal's, you know, eats. You shouldn't, we're not an animal. Our connection with our wives is not an animal connection. Right? It's a connection based on emotions. That's why we have a period of time where we're separate to develop our emotional relationship, and then a period of time when she's permitted to us. Right? Because it's hashlam, it's completion of the emotional relationship. If you don't have that emotional relationship, then the being together is physical. No difference to you and an animal. Right? The difference between a human being is it's hashlam, it's completion of an emotional and intellectual relationship. That's a completion. You with me? Okay, well, I'm not going to go into that. You know, that you'll learn with your chosen classes. But what we are saying here is...
quite the opposite of in the secular world.
Well, I hope so. I mean, if you sell a car with a certain picture, and a cigarette with a certain picture, and even ice cream set with a picture, and even, you know, they've done studies. I mean, they don't waste their time. They know that if there's a certain picture, people notice it. They've done studies. Even if it's lemala be'esrim amah, even if it's higher than 20 amahs, people look. Right? So now, what I want to say by this is as follows. Our attitude is different. When we're saying you don't speak words with a woman, obviously not your wife, that's because you don't want to be connected, you don't want to feel that connection, so you don't think things. And now with your wife we're saying you don't want to speak. What do you mean you don't want to speak? Of course you want to speak with your wife. If we're saying you have to develop an emotional connection, why shouldn't you be speaking to your wife this period of time when she's not permitted? How are you going to develop if you don't speak to her? So we're not talking about that, we're talking about over-speaking. Now over-speaking is different in each generation and different based on the needs of your wife and your own needs. You have to satisfy those needs because you are a husband. So each person is given that wife that he has to satisfy her needs. Not always it's so easy for us. Not always, you know, we're built for it. When you're courting, it's one thing. When you're married, it's something else. Women speak a lot. Some women speak more than others. Some women need less in the term the realm of speaking together from their friends or whatever. Each woman's different. But whatever her needs are, that's the mission's not talking about that. You have to give her those needs. Those emotional needs she has to get. You are a husband. It's talking about more than that. To delve in it, to overdo. That you shouldn't do. That causes divrei terror. Why does that cause divrei terror? Because if you're thinking about her, right, chas v'shalom, eishes chavero, right? Or anything like that. If you're connected to your wife in that way, it also opens you out to other women. Because your mindset is there. And the Rambam says a very important thing. You can only have one thing in your mind. Avas Hashem, which means Torah. Love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu means Torah. Or the love of a woman. If you have the love of a woman in your mind, you're not going to have Torah in your mind. Torah is supposed to be what's in your mind. That doesn't mean you're not caring for your wife. But it shouldn't be occupying your mind. Torah should be occupying your mind. Ruchnius should be occupying your mind. And when you're with your wife, you care for her, she's on your mind. But when you're not with her, Torah is on your mind. You understand what I'm saying? or ruchnius is on your mind. That's what we're working for. Whether we get there or how much we get there, that's up to us. We're not perfect, we're here, but we have to know where we have to get. You understand? That doesn't mean in the middle of the day you don't make a phone call home. Right? If that's what your wife needs and that's what you should show her. Right? Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean you don't send her messages. What's it called? How do you call these? It's SMSs, right? Text messages or emails or whatever you do, right? Doesn't mean you don't care for her. No, I don't care for you, I'm learning Torah. Doesn't mean that. It means you don't have to tell her. I didn't think about you the whole day. I was in the office thinking about this big deal or sitting in the yeshiva learning. Don't say that. You can tell her you were thinking about her the whole day. You missed her. But mutter to say that. You with me? Okay. Stop here.